Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
Mary is in Limerick. Mary, good afternoon. But your daughter, Anne, who's a frontline worker in nurse, lives in Cork.
Good afternoon, Joe. Thank you for taking the call. My daughter is a fourth-year internship nurse in Cork. And for the past 8 weeks, her life has been absolute hell by young people renting houses beside her in Cork. Partying all night, she getting very little sleep. Only Tuesday night, she got 2 hours sleep. She had to sleep in the hall of her house. And how can she be expected to go in and look after people with so little sleep? Guards are called numerous times. The music is turned off. Then they go in and start roaring and shouting. And she's on 12-hour shifts all the time. You know, and I just blame the government for all of this, to be honest with you, and the parents of those children. The government are there and they're pleading with people to stay at home from their holidays. Well, I'd love if they made a plea to the parents to come and collect their children. We are in the middle of a pandemic at the end of the day. And why can't the government give the same laws to the guards? They have no laws, you know, powers to go in and shut these parties down. Yet they can go into pubs and shut it all down.
But you mentioned the houses are being rented, but are they being rented long term, Anne? Who's renting them? Is it near a college? Or?
The students are renting them off the landlords.
Yeah, but they're renting them for a term or whatever.
Oh, they're renting them for the summer because what their thing is, right? They say, well, our holidays were cancelled and we're just making the best of the situation. So they've actually brought Magaluf to Cork. That's what they have done.
Well, that's some clash of cultures and their own climates.
It is, yeah. I feel my daughter she's fighting two pandemics because her biggest fear is that she's going to get the virus off one of them and take it into the hospital. And, you know, it's just not on. You know, they're desperately trying to move house. They've lived there for 2 years and it always was a beautiful place to live, lovely place to live, very quiet, nice neighbours, everything. But since these youngsters came in and they're alone to themselves,
and they're on both sides of her.
They're on both sides of her. So last night, no, she slept, not last night, the night before, I wasn't speaking with her yet today, but the night before she slept in the sitting room. And I'm just worried for her mental and physical health now at this stage. She's very down herself over it. And last night, I love my job, she said. I love it. But isn't it very sad that that's the kind of society we live in?
And on Tuesday night, she slept
in the hall.
In the hall of the
floor in the hall and got 2 hours sleep.
And then up to do a 12-hour shift.
And then went in to do a 12-hour shift. She was off on Tuesday and she has 12-hour shift Wednesday, Thursday and today. Now I will collect her tonight, bring her home, but I won't see much of her because she's trying to pick up on the sleep. And then next week she's 4 12-hour shifts.
And did she?
And she also has her interview for, you know, because she's an internship nurse.
Okay.
She also has her interview next week, so God only knows where she's going to be. You know, they've hugely impacted on her life. You know, and I have got onto TDs and they say, oh yeah, they're, you know, they're really working on it. Like, they're doing nothing. The government has totally overlooked this situation, in my opinion.
And would she be tempted to check them herself to knock in? I know she shouldn't have to do this and the boarding shouldn't.
Oh no, Joe, no, I've told her not to interact with people like that because I worry for her safety. No, you can't interact. No, Joe, you don't know what you're dealing with.
Okay.
You can't. Absolutely not. You can't. And even one night she rang at 3 o'clock the guards. Now, the guards have been very nice, I will say that. And I've even rang them myself. And one guy told her that it wasn't her problem. But sure, whose problem is it? It's certainly not my daughter's problem, Joe.
Well, it is her problem that she's the one suffering.
But it's not her problem continuing like this.
It's not her problem to solve. She can't solve the problem.
No, she cannot.
The only people, there's three parties that can solve the problem. One, the individuals themselves, if you're pardoned upon three parties. Two is the Gardaí, or three, the parents of those individuals.
Yes, absolutely.
And the term is long over. And
it is.
I know leaving third parties didn't, well, some trips apparently happened this year to Portugal in the last few weeks. The leaving cert trips didn't happen in the main. So you're saying they decided to bring Magaluf to Cork?
Well, bring Magaluf to Cork. That's what they have done. And they've totally impacted on my daughter's mental health. They've really messed her up. Like, I'm really worried for her. And she's often afraid in that house on her own because she lives with three other girls who are also nurses.
Okay.
So, you know, like, they're being intimidated in by these youngsters as well, because they probably know, like, the sim that's ringing the guards. I'm sure there's other neighbours as well ringing, like, because it's just... I mean, I drove her back there one night and I said, my God, I said, is COVID gone or what? I said, you know, because there were so many young people around. Like, they just seem to think that this is their right to do this. But, like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. The virus is gone nowhere. Like, it's on its way back, like, again, big time.
Do you think so? Why do you say that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then even reading in the paper there this morning about, oh, the government now are going to take action against 26 pubs. Like, it just boils my blood when I see that.
Why?
Because they've totally overlooked the situation with house parties. The guards need to be given more powers here. The youngsters know their rights. Like, whoever is tutoring them, they know their rights. You know, they seem to think like this. I don't know what their parents think they're up to. You know, I mean, like,
and
Neffet,
I saw,
and listen, party at home.
Well, you probably heard Dr. Ronan Glynn, the acting CMO, said Neffet are worried about the new cases increasingly. Yes. They're among young people.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's my poor daughter above there in the middle of it, doing nothing wrong, only just trying to get on with her life. And can't get any sleep or anything, like, four.
There were six,
six
deaths and 23 new cases yesterday. But they said, yes, all the new cases of COVID-19 reported yesterday were in people aged under 44. And yes, 77% were among under 25-year-olds.
Yes, absolutely. But sure, there was that Tuesday night, I think.
So, so basically 18 of those 23 new cases yesterday were people under 25.
But I mean, look, if you're going to have 20 and 30 people inside in a house...
Well, did you see the video that was going around 10 days ago, we mentioned it here, of the house party in Waterford, a small,
yes,
semi-detached house?
I did, yeah.
And people lost count, but they said it was either 60... The guards arrived, and it was in broad daylight, and they were saying either 60, 61 or 62 people emerged from the house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe it, yeah.
All of them with drink in their hand.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
But you see, why aren't the guards then, Joe, being given more powers to shut this down? Go into the house. They can walk into a pub. Why can't they walk into a house? We're in the middle of a pandemic. The government needs to cop on here. They're telling people to cop on. They also need to cop on here as well. Like,
and
just for the time being, just act responsibly.
And if we need new legislation, we'll rush it
absolutely
in. Rush it in.
They push it in straight away. Sure, they've totally overlooked it. They've totally overlooked it. They just seem to get a kick out of being on the paper, like, and, oh, look what we're doing here now with the pubs, and you have to have your substantial meal. Do you think they're having substantial meals inside in the houses? They are not, sure.
But, you know? No, they're not.
Do you know what I mean? They are not, like, oh, I'll go away now for a while and they'll be gone. She said she could overhear, men could overhear him saying this, and come back again. And back again they come, like. Do you know? And then more guards came on. And now some of them are fine and stern with them, but more of them didn't, like, are, you know, come on now, lads, look, you know, we were young as well once, look, do you know, try and calm it down now a small bit. Sorry, that's not the way to continue on with these youngsters, because they've no respect for absolutely anybody. I don't know what type of parents they have, but they should be ashamed of themselves.
And are these Magaluf house parties in Cork, are they a phenomenon of the pandemic, or were they always happening?
No, they weren't always there. No, they weren't always there. You see, it's to do, unless you put the words in my mouth now, Joe, I can't say it. But,
they were not always there.
You know, it's just because they couldn't go abroad. But why don't their parents bring them home and have the parties in their houses?
Yeah, good point.
You know, have the party in their houses. Like, don't be driving other people mad. Like,
okay.
My daughter is getting no sleep over them.
Okay.
And she'll be worried now again going back Sunday night, like walking in there.
Dreading. It's called a dread. It's dread.
And it's affecting her mental and physical health at this stage. And the government need to just step up here now a small bit and give the garden more power to deal with it.
Susan's on the line, 1857-15815. Susan, you used to be an environmental health officer. What did you do?
I used to inspect food premises and deal with nuisances, both in England and here in Ireland. Basically, what that woman needs to do is to contact her local authority and see if they do what we used to do was noise patrol.
Okay.
Where would we go out on the weekends, accompanied by a guard who could confirm the person's identity, and immediately tell them to cease causing a nuisance.
Okay.
And the really good thing is that they had to abate it. So in other words, they had to stop it and they had to never do it again. And then we would take them to court for the nuisance that they caused.
Okay. But the critical thing that night was the fact that you were accompanied by a guard, a police officer.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Okay. And would you measure the noise level, Susan? How would you decide something is
You contact your local authority, they would do a noise nuisance measurement. But mine was just subjective. Like if the walls of the other place were banging, they were disturbing people.
And were these commercial premises, like nightclubs or pubs?
No, they'd primarily be homes, high-rise homes.
And how would you know where to go? Would you be acting on a complaint?
Yeah, complaints would start coming in. We would just be around the area, and then complaints start coming in. You know, after about 12 o'clock, people become very intolerant. So let her try that. Alternatively, she should log what's happening exactly and what the music's doing. So say tonight it's shaking the walls or something, and she can go to the district court and look for a court order.
Yeah, but her daughter is a frontline worker, Susan. 12-hour shifts. Into PPE every day. Janie Mac.
And there's a huge mental strain, association with.
And did you like the job? Did you ever feel you were in danger, Susan?
When I was working in London, yes, once or twice, yeah.
Why? Where did that happen?
At one stage I was in a section of premises and the guy wanted me to see his ventilation system. And he said, you go first, and I walked downstairs and suddenly realised I was in the basement on my own, with no one knowing where I was. And there was the Susie Lampoo and the Jane Joe Dado killing. So it was a scary on occasion, but we got there.
I'm just wondering, Mary, and again, don't take me the wrong way. Would your daughter sleep with earplugs or?
Yeah.
I don't know if anything is effective. Yeah, no. I don't in this day and age.
No, it's just gone so unsafe there anyway, Joe, I suppose, right? That, you know, they're desperately trying to find another house, like, so.
Oh, are they, yeah?
They find it very hard to view places when they come up, and it's very hard to find a four-bedroomed house. So if any of your listeners know anyone that wants to rent them, I'd be so grateful, right? But, you know, because these selfish young people are hugely impacting on her life, and this is not going to stop in September because colleges will not be back full time, so there'll be party haven going on forevermore.
And then,
alternatively, did any of the hotels down there offer rooms to PPE frontline staff?
But Susan, that was mentioned way back at over 150 days ago, I think, at this stage.
Mm.
Well, it's 190 days today since January the 2nd when we came back. But that was mentioned. Did hotels give free rooms to frontline staff?
Well, I believe they did.
So did I, but I didn't. I heard somebody told me last week their son was a medic, and he couldn't get a room, and he ended up having to. He was being asked for 3,000 a month for an apartment in Dublin. Sheila Deegan has been listening to Mary. Go ahead, Sheila.
Joe, I had a situation similar to this woman.
Okay.
And a number of years ago, and a very noisy student next door. And I wrote a letter. I kind of composed this very logical letter explaining that I had been a student myself one time, and I was a wild student in UCG in Galway.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realise, we didn't always realise the impact we had on the neighbours, because no one ever said it to us. So I told these students that they were keeping elderly people awake next door, and that their noise was impacting on us.
Okay.
And I went and knocked on the door.
Well done.
I said, can I come in?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, now I want everyone in the house to come and listen to this letter that I've written.
Okay.
And I read out the letter to them. Now, okay. I don't know what calibre of students we're dealing with in Cork, but these were just students like any other students. And they all stood around. They were dumbfounded.
Okay.
I could see the expressions on their faces that they actually didn't realise the impact they were having on us.
Okay. And did it work, Sheila?
Absolutely.
Well done.
Immediately.
Okay.
So, I mean, sometimes it's not the guard you need to talk to these people. You need to go in and say, like that woman could say, my daughter is a nurse. She's in a hospital. Yeah. She's saving lives.
Can I just say something there, Joe? Mary, yes.
My daughter, Anne, got her landlord to call. And okay. she was told where to go by these young people.
Oh,
so,
dear.
You know, these youngsters now, no, I go mad, actually, if she went in there. I don't think she'd come out alive, to be honest with you.
No, she
They're
would, Mary.
There.
She would come out alive.
Oh,
no student
know.
Is going to attack a woman. If she goes in and reasons with the... There's students in UCC. Leave the guards out of it.
Oh, no.
Get the guards to go in, tell them, reason with them, that she's actually in a hospital saving
they
lives.
Know this. They do know their nurses.
Do they, yeah?
Because they test comments as they're testing. They do know their nurses.
Well, what type
but
of comments?
But they don't care. And I'm glad that's worked out for you with this lovely story. Really is. But this is not going to work
well,
here.
Derek,
I know it.
Come in, Derek.
But Mary, has she gone into them? Has she gone in and reasoned with them?
I've told her not to interact with them.
She's not going in.
Sheila, she won't. Sheila, Mary's adamant. She's not letting her daughter
go in. No, no.
Sheila. 51551, wash your hands. Derek. You had issues with noise.
Oh, about 4 years ago, we had the same issue with students. And initially, we didn't know them. They seemed like nice young people. But they started partying. But they started partying in the bedroom behind us. You know, the wall. Like we're modern house, so the noise was coming through loud and clear.
Okay.
So we went in several times and trying to explain that we have an issue. My wife has a health issue. And we were in numerous times to them. And we were getting more and more annoyed. Of course, we were getting more and more angry with them. They shipped us off. So what we did then was the guy who bought the house, the landlord, when he was moving, when he bought the house, he gave us his mobile number.
Okay.
And they said, you know, watch the house if you have any issues.
Yeah.
Give us a ring. So we got to the stage where they'd wake us up at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning, and we'd ring the landlord at 2 or 3 or 4 in the morning.
What reaction did you get?
The first couple he took, and it was kind of annoying, what do you want me to do about it type of thing. It just went to voicemail, and so every time he turned his phone on, there was a voicemail from ourselves again. But we found out during the process, now we didn't go down this road because the landlord did move the students out, but we found out during the process is that the Residency Tenancy Board have a special section for complaining about noise.
RTB, yeah.
Yeah. Now, we didn't have to use it, so I don't know how effective or ineffective.
Okay.
But we did find out that they have a section specifically for noisy neighbours.
And getting the landlord's contact details would help, wouldn't it? Is there any avenue there, Mary?
Now, they know who owns the house at one side of them, and she has been contacted and has arrived on the premises, but Tuesday night she would not answer the phone to my daughter's landlord. And then at the other side of her, it's a man that owns that house, and his niece is renting it off him. So he has just told Anne's landlord to tell them to just continue ringing the guards. That's what he has
said.
There you go.
Okay.
That's what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Mary, the only glimmer of hope I hear there is that your daughter's landlord seems to be proactive.
He has gone to the door to them, as I said to you, Joe, and just been basically told where to go. You know, they're in the rights, and you're obstructing our doorway. You cannot come in. They've told that to the guards, even. You know,
Henry,
nearly feel sorry for the guards as well, Joe,
because it is
the government's fault. They need to just step up
give
them powers.
No, it's the students' fault. Am I right in thinking they're all 18 or over?
They are, yeah.
You know, it's the students' fault.
And you should have a bit of cop on it.
Yeah, exactly. Henry McDonough, Henry.
How are you, Joe?
I
listened very intently to that lady with her daughter, the nurse, who I felt extremely sorry for. And the problem has started, Joe, with the COVID money, the $350 a week. A lot of these kids worked last year, say, and worked on a Saturday for a few bob, and they got $100 a week. And suddenly they get $350.
Well, it's gone down. It's gone down.
And they get $350, and there's three or four of them rent a house, and they go mad because they have nothing else to do all day long then, nothing whatsoever to do. And they go mad. And that, and I think that's it. And I just think
that the
government should wake up. Like, they'll come in on the rest of any other business who doesn't adhere. Mm-hmm. They're in trouble. But this is...
The 350 has gone down to 203 now.
I know it is now, yeah.
Not for everybody, just for people who are on a certain income. But Henry, what are they spending the 350 on, he asked innocently.
Well, I'll tell you, Joe, they had 100 last year, they have 250 to spare, they spend $100 a man or person, per person, on rent.
Yeah, okay.
And then they have $150 to go mad on. Because they won't be big on food, I can assure you, like the pubs have to be.
And they're not buying My Waddy blackcurrant.
Correct, absolutely.
Unless they're putting it into their pair now.
Yeah. And I just think it's not fair, because like Magazine Road, College Road, they're two lovely roads, two lovely
beautiful roads, yeah.
They really are narrow, they're narrow streets, and the noise will carry all over the place. And I just think it's horrible. And a lot of the residents, I don't live there, I live 5 miles away, but I think that a lot of the residents there are now elderly as well. And I just think, and they recently, they took to the streets themselves, trying, it's their homes. Surely they're due some protection.
Okay, have you witnessed any of these parties?
The only thing I had one evening, one night, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was coming out and the traffic was reasonably heavy, there was something on the street, and my window down because it was warm, and you could hear the bang along the street, about 11 o'clock at night. Okay. And I was in the car. And I just think that's my drive to offer, that's all.
Okay, well offered and well said, Henry. Thanks indeed. Thanks indeed, Henry McDonough, or other callers. Mary, thanks indeed, but above all, thanks to your daughter, Anne. And all the frontline workers for their service continuing. Thanks, Mary. 51551, wash hands.